Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. And welcome. Welcome, everyone, to Midsummer in Oregon and to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, also affectionately known as WOOF. I'm Salima Mollison. My pronouns are she and her, and it is my absolute delight to serve as your lay leader for today's service, which is titled, Old Age is Not for Sissies. It is a tribute to our own enlivened elders and to the Portland Raging Grannies, a group that originated here at WOOF lots of years ago. It is so good to look out into our sanctuary this morning and see so many faces. So many faces, both new and familiar, with their eyes all smiling back at me over their masks. It is truly a treat and a privilege to be here with you this morning. Hard to settle back down after that, isn't it? But we are having coffee hour today, and so you'll get a chance to really do some visiting after the service. But let's open our service, as we always do, with the chalice lighting. And this morning, that's going to be done by Virginia Quimby and Larry Schick. So let us speak together our opening affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. And now Virginia will come here and share some of her words.
Larry and I just had our granddaughter, our 9-year-old granddaughter, with us for all of June and July. We just put her on a plane back to Alaska. It's been great. But Grandma has learned a lot of things from a 9-year-old. First of all, be sure you have enough honey and cinnamon for the toast in the morning. Here we go. Sorry. Say excuse me when you make any noise that sounds like a fart. Always avoid wearing shoes whenever possible, even if the asphalt is scalding hot. Apologize if you wear your mean face when supervising brushing my teeth, because I love you and I will give you one more chance for this job, but we have a deal, right? Be sure your seatbelt is fastened if you expect mine to be. Be sure to be sitting in front of the kayak so when you will have full control of rowing where you want to go. Be sure to always charge up your iPad if you are forced to go on a long distance in the car. Hold your breath as long as you can underwater. Refuse to go to Saturday Farmers Market and then have the best time of your life. Climb as high as you possibly can in the tree outside to test your grandma's heart. Always light the chalice every morning with a prayer for peace and a blessing for all who have passed. Be sure that you have handed out the Holy Scriptures to read to those who are with you during the chalice lighting, such as the operator's manual for the air conditioner and a coupon for Grey Clips.
So that's it. Old people, young people, and everything in between. Welcome again, everyone. Everyone. Old people, young people, and everything in between. Whatever your age, your abilities, color of your skin, or where you were born, whomever you love, or how you identify your gender, if you do, and whether your heart is heavy this morning or full and light, we are so grateful to be gathered on this summer morning as we celebrate the privilege of growing older together in a community of care and compassion. When we began planning this service, which I should say right now, and this is the disclaimer, when we began planning this service, which is quite out of order, if you're familiar with our order of service, you'll find that this one is quite different. It's going to be lively, it's going to be loud, and we encourage you to stay all the way through. You never know what surprises might come at the end. Or as Rosie said last week, at the beginning. So when we started planning this service a few weeks ago, it was Marty Lawrence, who, by the way, she and her husband Bob are traveling and aren't with us this morning, but she wanted to make sure that our audience understood that it was staying open-hearted and open-minded that made old age an ever-growing adventure, no matter what it might look like on the outside. While aging might involve more medicine and more medical interventions than we'd like, and while we would definitely become more intimate with loss than ever before, Marty wanted us to remember these words from Maya Angelou, and then some from Willie Nelson. First, Maya, from a poem called On Aging. And when my bones are stiff and aching and my feet won't climb the stair, I will only ask one favor. Don't bring me no rocking chair. When you see me walking, stumbling, don't study and get it wrong, 'cause tired don't mean lazy and every goodbye ain't gone. I'm the same person I was back then. A little less hair, a little less chin, a lot less lungs, and much less wind. But ain't I lucky I can still breathe in. We said, old people, young people, grandparents, grandkids, little ones, big ones. Sue, will you come up and share our time for all ages?
So I'm Sue Alperin, and I offered to read this story, which is one of my favorite children's books, but I think it really is a book for all ages. Oh, heck. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm short. Okay, now, hopefully I can turn the pages and show them to you. The book is A Special Trade by Sally Whitman and pictures by Karen Gundersheimer. And I had this book a long time. You can tell because the price is $7.95. Okay, that was the page. I love the drawings. Old Bartholomew is Nellie's neighbor. When Nellie was very small, he would take her every day for a walk down the block to Mrs. Pringle's vegetable garden. Bartholomew never pushed too fast. He always warned Nellie about Mr. Oliver's bumpy driveway, and she'd shout "bump" as she rode over it. If they met a nice dog along the way, they'd stop and pet it. But if it was nasty, Bartholomew would shoo it away. When Mrs. Pringle's sprinkler was on, he would say, "Get ready, get set, charge!" And Nellie would squeal, "Whee!" as he pushed her through it. When Nellie began to walk, Bartholomew took her by the hand. "No, no," she cried, pulling it back. Nellie didn't want any help. So Bartholomew offered his hand only when she really needed it. Bartholomew was getting older, too. He needed a walking stick. So they walked very slowly. When they walked upstairs, they both held on to the railing. Oops. Oh, yeah, okay. The neighbors called them ham and eggs because they were always together. Even on Halloween, and on the coldest days of winter when everyone else was inside. One summer, Bartholomew taught Nellie to skate by circling his walking stick. "Easy does it," he warned. Then she skated right over his toes. He wasn't mad, though. He just whistled and rubbed his foot. The first time Nellie tried to skate by herself, she fell. Bartholomew saw that she felt like crying. He pulled up something from the garden and said, "Don't be saddish, have a radish." I just love that line. Nellie laughed and ate it. She didn't really like radishes, but she did like Bartholomew. Oops, did I do? Yeah. Sorry. It's like patting your head and rubbing your stomach. Before long, Nellie was in school, and Bartholomew had gotten even older. Sometimes he needed a helping hand, but he didn't like to take one. So Nellie held out her hand only when Bartholomew really needed it. Whenever Bartholomew had to stop and rest, Nellie would beg for stories about the old days. Once after a story, she asked him, "Will we ever run out of things to talk about?" "If we do," said Bartholomew, "we just won't say anything. Good friends can do that." Some days they just took it easy and sat on the porch. Bartholomew would play a tune on his harmonica. Nellie would make up the words. One day, Bartholomew went out alone and fell down the stairs. An ambulance with a red flasher and a siren took him to the hospital. He was gone for a long time. Nellie wrote him every day. She always ended with, "Come back soon so we can go for walks again." When Bartholomew came home, he was in a wheelchair. The smile was gone from his eyes. "I guess our walks are over," he said. "No, they aren't," said Nellie. "I can take you for walks now." She knew just how to do it, too. Nice and easy, not too fast. Just before Mr. Oliver's driveway, she would call, "Get ready for the bump," and Bartholomew would wave his hat like a cowboy as he rode over it. If they saw a nice dog, they'd stop and pet it. But if it was mean, Nellie would shoo it away. One day, when the sprinkler was on, Nellie started to go around, but she changed her mind. "All right, Bartholomew, ready, set, 1, 2, 3, charge!" And she pushed him right through it. "Ah, that was fun," said Bartholomew. Nellie grinned. "I hope your wheelchair won't rust." "Fiddlesticks," he laughed. "Who cares if it does?" Mrs. Pringle leaned over the fence. "Seemed like just yesterday Bartholomew was pushing you in the stroller." "That was when I was little," said Nellie. "Now it's my turn to push and Bartholomew's turn to sit. Kind of like a trade." Then they sat in the sun to dry. Nellie munched on a carrot. Bartholomew played a tune on his harmonica. Nellie could see the old smile was back in Bartholomew's eyes. Thank you.
Ah, the land of one who made so many technical advances this year. Thank you, Rick. My name is John Riles, and my pronouns are he, him, and his. I'm the person in the three photos this morning that show what it was like to wake up looking forward to a great day in Yellowstone National Park, only to react in shock and awe, second photo, at finding that my campground was fast becoming flooded, like much of the rest of the park, third photo. The flood resulted in all 10,000 visitors, including me, being told that we had to pull up stakes now and evacuate. Wow. Epic flooding? That wasn't in my guidebook to Yellowstone. What a drastic change in plans. Well, how does my latest adventure, quote unquote, apply to this morning's topic? At age 78, in the past several years, I've had a number of abrupt changes in plans, or as I prefer to call them, unplanned adventures. There was a car totaling crash that had me laid up, congestive heart failure, open heart surgery, and a stroke. But who's counting? Through the miracle of modern medicine and more than a little good fortune, I'm still around for my next adventure, hopefully not one of the unplanned variety. Each time I've had to ask, now that this is where I'm at, what do I do about or with my new reality? What can I do to repair, regain, and renew? My medical resources have done what they can to repair the damage to my body. In each of these cases, there was some rehab connected with my medical treatment. But that rehab was not enough for me to gain full functionality. I felt strongly that I had to commit to not settling for complacency. I've worked to regain what I could of my life. True, I haven't backpacked or climbed mountains in a long time, and these days I'm not even riding my bike due to issues with balance. But I have a to-do list in mind of things that I want to try again in order to see if I'm ready to give them up or if I want to commit to regaining them. I've stopped singing for now because after my stroke, I was getting very dizzy when I sang at full triple forte volume. However, music runs deep in me, so I want to figure out how I can sing again, perhaps at a volume that won't make me dizzy. In the meantime, I've found new things to renew my enthusiasm and help me continue to grow, perhaps in new directions. For example, after leaving sports, I didn't participate in organized exercise, instead choosing to hike, backpack, or climb. Regarding exercise, my new direction has been to join adult fitness classes, benefiting from their regular schedule, social reinforcement, and health and fitness benefits, including working on balance. Another area of new interest was to evolve my photography practice to focus on wildlife, including the wolves and grizzlies of Yellowstone. Wolves are animals that live in packs and have a rich social life that can be engaging to watch. Yellowstone is the place where you're most likely to see wolves. I've got miles to go before I sleep, and they look like they could be filled with all kinds of adventures. But this isn't only about physical rehab. One of my greatest resources has been my connections. The people and activities with whom I'm connected have helped me and provided inspiration in my journey to regain and renew. In many ways, WOOF is a very big, important source of connections for me. Of course, members of my family are primary connections. My wife, Suzanne, has always been supportive and caring, as have many of my relatives. We just had a visit from our daughter and her family. We watched Sing 2, the grandkids, several times. It's an animated movie with a rock soundtrack that just makes you have to get up and dance with three-year-olds and eight-year-olds. Also, I received training from my eight-year-old granddaughter on how to sing What a Wonderful World. Some of Fiona's directions included, "Grandpa, don't use your opera voice." My interpretation. Sorry, it's still funny. My interpretation, this is a popular tune, not a choir hymn. "Grandpa, sing that last note higher, not lower." Interpretation, make it seem a bit jazzy like Louis Satchmo Armstrong did when he added, oh yeah, to the end to give it a rising, jazzy, blue note tag. What a great time we had. And hey, next year, back to Yellowstone.
So, here we go. Now, it's time for our older ladies. Yes, Caleb, hit it.
And my skin is sagging, and if that's the reason that you don't love me, then maybe that's not love. Well, I ain't 20 either, and I don't care either. My hair is gray, and I like it that way. And if that's the reason that you don't love me, then maybe that's not love. If you don't think I rock, well, we ain't gonna roll. If you don't think I hum, well, my heart just turned cold. If you want a younger model, I wish you well, sweet pea. Cause if you can't see what it is you have, then you ain't having me. I got cellulite and aching feet, and my thoughts kinda jiggle when I giggle or wiggle. And if that's the reason that you don't love me, then maybe that's not love. My tummy ain't tucked or liposucked, it's a little coochie, but it's still hoochie-coochie. And if that's the reason that you don't love me, then maybe that's not love. Well, sweet pea, cause if you can't see what it is you have, then you ain't having me. Older lady, older lady, older lady, Lord, you're mine. butt cheek and neck, and I love it by heck. It makes a double chin whenever I grin, and if that's the reason that you don't love me, maybe that's not love. I got saggy breath that drips from my chest, burnt air down all the way to my neck, and if that's the reason that you don't love me, then maybe that's not love. If you want a younger model, I wish you well, sweet pea. Cause if you can't see what it is you got, you ain't getting me. Older lady, older lady, older lady, love divine. Older lady, older lady, older lady. What are we, lady? We're divine.
It is my distinct pleasure to introduce a small portion of a group of women that I have been privileged to belong with for many years now, and a local group that started right here at WUF. And they are called the Portland Raging Grannies. I think you've heard of them. Uh-huh. So, a while back, a local filmmaker made a little documentary about us, and we're going to show that video now. It features Judy Romano and Alice Shapiro, and it will tell you a lot about who we are and why we do the things we do.
Tell them about your 8-year-old.
Social justice. My granddaughter, who is about to turn 9, so on September 1st, has been very politically aware and is now losing sleep. It breaks my heart to even talk about it because she can't fall asleep at night because she's so worried about the political situation, and she's worried, she's afraid of the current administration, and she's also a biracial girl, so she's even more concerned about what is happening, and it just breaks my heart. So if I can do anything to protect her and other children, no matter who they are, whose grandchildren they are, whose children they are, I'm going to do it, man, till my dying breath.
For all our children and men and women, no need for co-pays, they're well deductible. This plan was made for you and me.
There's, in today's political climate, there's just one thing after another. I'm Judy Romano, and I'm 69 years old.
I'm Alice Shapiro. People often call me Allie. I am 71 years of age.
And I like 71 years of age.
Yes, because I don't feel old.
I don't either.
I don't feel old until I look in the mirror, and sometimes when I look in the mirror, it's like, Mom, what are you doing here? Oh, it's me.
So, I was not tremendously active growing up. I think I was interested, but I didn't do a whole lot
until joining the Raging Grannies. So, this is, for me, it's been a big change and a real positive one.
5, probably 6 years ago, there was a No Monsanto action, and I went there, and here comes this group of women in lovely costumes and hats carrying their banner that said Portland Raging Grannies, and I went, I found you. So I ran over when they were finished singing, and I said, I want to be there with you, and that was how it
sounds like. All we are saying is give peas a chance, give corn a chance. Anyway, I got to be proud of this.
That's a problem. We got to solve it, get involved and do it now, now, now. We need to build a better future, and we need to start right now.
We don't have to memorize the song. and we can make the print as big as we need. People start singing with us. The words get pretty clever. Don't ask me which ones because I don't remember. They go wild for us. They really do. I've never had that in my life. You know, I mean, it's really something. So I think we're blowing any little old lady stereotypes because we're not.
Right now.
We're just hot, you know. They want to be part of us. I get, do you know the expression for clemped?
Clemped.
It's like you tear up, but you're not really crying. You just get very emotional at the Pride Parade. It is unbelievable. And the love that we're pouring out and the love that's coming to us, and we've often talked about how we probably represent to a lot of people who have come out their grandparents or their mothers or aunts or whatever who haven't accepted them, and we're marching and accepting them, and the outpouring of love is just sometimes I can hardly get the words out. I'm just really moved.
Y'all better give it up for McLean Ames.
Older white woman who's physically not very large, I have a lot more latitude. I'm not as likely to be targeted. I can speak, even though sometimes I know I don't represent and I haven't walked in the shoes of people of color or of immigrants. I can still use my voice and I won't be put down. I won't be silenced as quickly. I won't be arrested as quickly. I won't feel threatened as quickly. Yes, we cannot deny our privilege. We have this privilege, and now let's use it to the good.
When we're out there and younger people are out there, we're in this together.
Yes.
And we could, we're retired women, we could be, you know, just sitting back and playing bridge and eating bonbons, but we're not just doing that. So we are still involved and still active, and I think that, you know, to show that we're in this with you. We're not just like, oh, well, we had our education, we had our lives, we're retired, we're, you know, it's up to you now. We're not doing that. We're not taking that position. We're in it together.
I don't know what you've been told.
I don't know what you've been told.
But we get strong as we get old.
We get strong as we get old.
Rage on.
Rage on.
Stay strong.
Stay strong. Portland raging grannies. Rage on. We still got solo.
Indeed. And now, you're going to get to meet some of them live and in person. Here we go. I don't know what you've been told.
I don't know what you've been told.
But we get strong when we get old.
We get strong when we get old.
We may be brash, we may be bold.
We may be brash, we may be bold.
We see no need to be controlled.
See no need to be controlled.
Rage on.
Rage on.
Rage. Stay strong.
Stay strong.
Portland
raging grannies.
Rage on. Okay, so, you know, we get out there and we sing and we dance, as you saw. We stand up for what we support and believe in, and we stand up against what we think is wrong and needs fixing. And one of those things that we think needs fixing is our healthcare system. It's time to clean up the mess. What do you think? Clean up the mess.
Yeah.
Caleb.
Oh, the U.S. healthcare system is a mess.
A mess.
Yes, the U.S. healthcare system is a mess.
A mess.
Oh, the system's really broken. From Portland to Hoboken, oh, the U.S. healthcare system system is a mess. A mess! If you think we ought to fix it, raise your hand.
Raise your hand!
If you think we ought to fix it, raise your hand.
Raise your hand!
If you think there should be choices, raise your hand and raise your voices for a better healthcare system in our land. If you think the poor need healthcare, say, oh yes,
oh yes!
If you think our kids need healthcare, say, oh yes,
oh yes!
If you think we'll all be better, if we're in this all together, if you think we all need healthcare, say, oh yes,
oh yes!
Universal is the plan that we must have.
Universal!
Universal is the plan that we must have.
Universal!
If you think we'll all be better, if we're in this all together, universal is the plan that we must have. Healthcare for all!
And not to forget about voting, we have our own version of the can-can.
Here we come, the raging grannies, got up off our fannies, just because we can, and so can you. If you want more trouble, burst out of your bubble. You can help us kick out, kick out, kick out, kick out sleazy weasels in high places in the midterm races. We can vote them out, vote them out,
vote them out,
vote them out.
I know you want to shout encore, encore, but we're on a little bit of a time limit here. What a joy to have my granny sisters here and to such a wonderful reception. So, I think I need a drink of water. As a community, it is fitting that we take some time in our service to remember and to be grateful for all that has brought us to this moment. All the love and laughter, the tears, and the hard work. The hard work of all the beautiful people who dug the wells from which we drink, planted the trees that shade us, built the fires that warm us. Let us especially remember the earliest stewards of this land that we think of as ours, the tribes indigenous to the Pacific Northwest, many of whom live among us today and to whom our doors are always open. And let us consider what it is that we have to give, whether it be money, time, or talent. Remember that community is just a word until it laces up its collective boots, stands tall, and works together to become beloved. For those here in the sanctuary this morning, there will be a basket in the foyer to gratefully receive whatever offerings you might wish to make. And before we move on to our final celebration of Woof's Longley Weds, there will be contact information on the screen for those of you watching online.
Fairy tales can come true, it can happen to you, if you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams. And life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth every treasure on earth to be young at heart? For as rich as you are, it's much better by far to be young at heart. And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part, you have a head start if you are among the very young at heart.
I'm surprised no one got up to dance.
And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part, you have a head start if you are among the very young.
As we bring this morning service to a close, we don't want to forget Wolf's longly wedded couples. This is a poem by Leah Furness. It's called The Longly Weds Know. And it will be followed by a slideshow accompanied by Betsy Weston on the piano of our own longly wedded couples, 40 to 77 years. So, here we go. The longly weds know it's not about the second anniversary when they were surprised to find they cared for each other more than last year. And the fourth, when both kids had chicken pox and she threw her shoe at him for no real reason. And the sixth, when he accidentally got drunk on the way home from work because being a husband and a father was so damn hard. It's about the 11th and 12th and 13th years when they discovered they could survive crisis. And the 22nd anniversary when they looked at each other across the empty nest and found it good. It's about the 37th year when she finally decided she could never change him. And the 38th when he decided a little change wasn't so bad. It's about the 46th anniversary when they both bought cards and then forgot to give them to each other. But most of all, it's about the end of that 49th year when they discovered you don't have to be old to have your 50th anniversary. So as we prepare to extinguish the chalice, marking the end of our official time together here in the sanctuary this morning, let's close with these words as Virginia puts the
candle out. Let us be grateful for our aging selves, for many have not been allowed that privilege. Let us be grateful for those who have come before and shared their light with us. And let us be grateful especially for our flaws and our fragility, for it is from them that we have learned compassion. And let us remember that the value of gratitude in our everyday lives is not only ageless, but immeasurable. May we go together in peace and return again and enjoy coffee hour together. If you're comfortable doing that, do it.